IVM.
Hello, folks. Welcome to The Last Brand Standing, presented by Bank of Baroda. It's a podcast where we discuss some of the most iconic brand rivalries from the Indian marketplace. In this episode, eyes upward, folks. We are looking towards the aviation industry, the big airline battle of Jet Airways versus IndiGo. Tambi, tell us what our listeners can expect.
This is a great battle. It's a great battle. And I think we'll all learn a lot by just studying how a brand which we really love went down. So, yeah. Anupam, all yours.
Yeah, we really love Jet. I remember as a kid when I shifted from, you know, Indian Airlines to Jet, what an experience that was. And aviation is such a fascinating industry, tough industry. Reminds me of Richard Branson, founder of Virgin. Very famous quote, I'm sure you've heard it. If you want to be a millionaire, start with $1 billion and launch a new airline. And soon you'll be a millionaire. Or the general view from investors that airline is one industry that does not make money. All airlines taken together. That's a tough place to be in. Indian aviation, again, awesome story of how the sector had opened up to private competition and totally changed our lives. Okay, so before 1991, we had only two major large options, Indian Airlines for domestic flights and Air India for foreign airlines, for international flights. And tickets were quite expensive. Service wasn't that great. You know, flights weren't even that common back in the 80s or in the 90s. I remember seeing some movies where someone was going for a flight for the very first time would be garlanded by his friends. It was a big deal. Taking a flight was a big deal, a special experience. And tickets used to be those sort of, you know, you remember those books, they had those flaps and those pages and all that. That's nostalgia for you. And then the doors to the private sector were opened and we got our first set of shiny private airlines. These are really old names. I don't know if you guys will remember, especially the 90s kids. Okay, here goes. East West, NEPC, Sahara, Modi Luft. And of course, our first player for this episode, Jet Airways. Because out of all those players, Jet just simply shot ahead. Impressively enough, Jet carried over 500,000 passengers to 12 destinations in their first year itself. It's a huge number for that era. And they carried on with their success. And their success was largely driven by the success of the founder of Jet, Naresh Goyal, who had a really interesting background in aviation. See, he started off as a cashier at his uncle's travel agency and worked across many airlines before starting his own travel agency in the 70s. And from there, he went on strengthening his experience in civil aviation before finally starting Jet Airways, which began its operations in 1993. Now, from 1993 to 2006, that's almost 13 years, Jet Airways literally took off. By the end of 2006, Jet dominated the Indian aviation market with a share of 32%. Now, Ambi is going to take over from here. And he's going to walk us through this entire success story. Ambi, just walk us through this because, you know, for a lot of us of that era, and I'm sure you also remember this, taking a flight with an Indian airline and then taking a flight with Jet, a huge change in experience. And like you said, Jet was a really loved brand. So talk us through this entire journey of Jet from starting all the way to the entry of low-cost carriers. Over to you.
So, you know, let me take our listeners back to 1980. And I still remember this flight I took with my boss from Mumbai to Ahmedabad. I think we're flying back from Ahmedabad to Mumbai. And it was a short flight. You know, Ahmedabad to Mumbai flights are short. It's about a 40-minute flight. So we were sitting, my boss was sitting across the aisle and sitting next to him in the middle seat was a guy. As soon as the flight took off, he rang the bell. And the steward, the air hostess came and said, sir, you rang the bell. He said, haan, khana chahiye. So the air hostess said, sorry, sir, it's a short flight, khana nahi milega. Okay. So within 5 minutes, he rang the bell again. Ting, ting. She came back. He said, mujhe pine ke liye coffee chahiye. So she said, sorry, sir, on this flight, we don't serve coffee. So both me and my boss, we were sitting on both sides of the aisle seat. We were laughing, saying, what next? He went on like this, you know, from khana to kuch khane ke liye kuch milega kya, kuch chai milega kya, and then finally asked for water. He asked for a glass of water, and Anupam, what was the answer?
Nothing, nahi milega, short flight.
Sorry, sir, nahi milega.
Just basic
and now
water,
you're landing, please wear your belt. And mind you, I mean, I'm saying this with a lot of, you know, laughter, but in reality was that we as Indians, you know, we're flying by air, but we're getting really bad quality service.
And despite paying very high prices, because flights were expensive that time. Flying was not as common as, say, taking a train or, you know, as it is now.
Absolutely, it was expensive. And, you know, this is a 40-minute flight. It was not a very short flight. And they said, no, we will not even give you a glass of water. You know, this was India. I'm not talking, I'm talking 81, 82, that was the period. And like you said, 92, you know, ushered in a whole bunch of new airlines, you know, Modi Luft and Daman and East West. And in that wake came Jet Airways. All the others literally shut down within a few years. What I thought Jet Airways did right was from day one, you know, they hired, I think Lintas was the advertising agency, and they got a very nice, beautiful, yellow and blue, you know, signages for their aircrafts. The logo, the brand name, everything I think was done by Lintas. And I think that time the CEO of Lintas, Prem Mehta himself, was involved in the brand. I knew people who had worked on the brand. And there was a great client agency partnership. So it came like a breath of fresh air, and all of us really loved it. And, you know, interestingly, there is another, you quoted several statements about the airline. There's another interesting comment about an airline is that all you need to start an airline is a brand name and a frequent flyer program, because everything else you can take on wet lease or dry lease or whatever. So Jet got it right. I mean, they created the frequent flyer program. All of us were members. I don't know, Anupam, you know, I was a whatever platinum or whatever member. And I actually never used to redeem those numbers. I mean, it was nice that I got some privileges, you got some preferred seats, etc. And I remember in 1998, I took, we had an international visitor. I think it was Stuart Pearson, and I had to take him to Delhi and Calcutta and Bangalore for some presentations and some seminars we're organizing. And though in domestically we always travel economy, but since we had an international visitor, we were flying business. And so we sat down, we strapped ourselves, and the business class service started, Mumbai to Delhi. And Stuart has traveled all over the world, and he was blown. He said, wow, this is domestic aircraft. This is domestic, you know, this is domestic. I said, yeah, this is domestic. How old is the airline? And he said, it's a very insipid brand name, right? Jet Airways, very insipid brand name. And how old is the airline? I said, the airline is about 4 or 5 years old. He said, yeah, Ambi, this is like world class. This is like world class service, you know. They come and put that, you know, little liveried service. They put that little sheet on your table, and they come and give the crockery and the real crockery and real cutlery. It was amazing. It was an amazing, amazing experience to go from where you didn't even get water, to suddenly you got this fantastic service. So Jet A was really took off, and all the others kind of were left in their wake. And I was told that from 2010 onwards, you know, they were the number one airline. They, like you said, they hit a 32% market share, but they hit 22.6% in 2010, and they continued to dominate the airways. And I think they got a lot of things right. A lot of things right. They were a very, they had a full service airline, which means you got business class, you got economy, you got food. Even in Ahmedabad, I remember laughing, you know, taking an economy flight between Mumbai to Ahmedabad, you know, after Jet Airways started, and you got a full meal. You know, amazing. So you got everything, and they had a very clear, nice branding identity of yellow and blue. And I think they did a lot of things right. And we all used to love flying Jet Airways.
The food used to be from Taj, right, Ambi?
I think Taj Sats was the caterer. Sats. Singapore Airline had a joint venture called Taj Sats. They used to provide the food. It was great to travel. And I, you know, an interesting episode happened, and we'll talk about Indigo later. But, you know, a few months ago, I was flying, and Indigo has these emergency row seats which are blocked for their pilots. So they don't release it, you know, so you can't. So that particular time, I managed to get a middle seat, and on both sides of me were two pilots. And I was telling these guys, you know, where are you from? I said, no, here. And I actually discovered this guy, Indigo pilot, had a nice beard, and actually he's a trained Bharatanatyam dancer. Wow. So we spent half hour talking about that. And then I said, look, yeah, you Indigo, but you know, I really miss Jet. you know, I miss the Jet Airways feel. So he said, sir, even we miss Jet. You know, I truly believe that was a great airline. And they did everything right, okay? I mean, they had a great, great ride. They got themselves listed in 2004. They started international operation 2005. And I remember I've flown, I don't know, for some reason I flew Mumbai to Singapore on Jet Airways. And it was, again, great experience. I know people have flown Jet from India to London via Brussels. They've all had, you know, extremely very, very, very good experience flying Jet. And they were operating to some 60 destinations and 20 different destinations abroad. So I think they got a lot of things right. From day one, they said they will be a full-service airline. They will have business class. They'll have economy. They will look after their customers very well. Their crew was extremely well-trained, very polite. And very often, they even knew your name when you walked in. And they did a lot of things right. Okay, they did a lot of things right. And unfortunately, they did a lot of things wrong. I wish it wasn't that way. But, you know, a lot of us who have flown Jet Airways for probably, 100 times or 200 times or 300 times, still miss them. You know, and as frequent flyers, you know, we had the privilege of going, calling early, getting a good seat for ourselves. You didn't have to bother about ordering food. You know, it was always there. And if you're a frequent flyer, Platinum, you could actually go in 48 hours early and get a good seat for yourself. The crew was always very well turned out. I mean, it was a welcome relief, right? I'm not being sexist here, but they had very smart young boys and girls working with them compared to the...
I remember, I mean, you know, for something that's like what? And let's say that an average flight, Bombay-Delhi, Bombay-Bangalore, Bombay-Calcutta, Bombay-Chennai is usually about anywhere from 1.5 to 3 hours, right? Even if you take 1.5 hours or 2 hours, the fact of the matter is that you were so well taken care of that people who used to fly regularly, at least, you know, maybe people like you, that kind of experience, I don't think any airline managed to do it. If I remember correctly, Kingfisher entered in 2005. They also caused a bit of a furor because people were like, now they had a pretty good option as compared to Jet. But even Kingfisher couldn't really take on Jet. And Kingfisher, in fact, folded up by 2012. So Jet really had something going for them.
I think they had, you know, I think somewhere while they were customer focused, they used to look after you very well. They had a very good, clean aircraft, very well-trained crew, decent food. I have this little adage about airline food, which I will tell now. Food at home is better than the food you have in a restaurant. Food in a restaurant is better than the food you'll have in the airport. And food you have in the airport is better than the food you have in an aircraft. Okay. But the truth is, Jet Airways food is not too bad, right? And so they had decent food. They had a frequent flyer program. You could buy tickets for people whom you want if you plan well enough. Of course, they had some problems, right? They had problems and, you know, and we were forgiving them for that. You know, there was an old story that the Bangalore to Mumbai flight, 7:30 p.m. flight will always leave on time. The 8:30 p.m. flight will always go half an hour to 1 hour late. Everyone knew that, but still we were there. We were taking the 8:30 flight and we knew it'll be half an hour late. So in spite of all this, the customers loved them. I mean, it's a case where, you know, given a choice, the customers would have said, yeah, keep flying, guys. We'll pay you a little bit. At least I would have said, you know, I'll pay you a little bit more, you know, keep flying. But yeah. I think they had many issues. They had many issues in the way they ran the company. I'm not a corporate strategy expert, but I think they had leadership churn and probably we'll talk about some of these things, you know, in the third part of this episode. But I think it was a very successful airline, including international guests used to think very highly of the quality of service and what they did.
Sure.
We all were sorry to see it go. And back to you, Anupam.
Yeah. So folks, this was the 2000s. Okay. We're talking about 93 to 2006, probably till about 2010. I look upon this as an era of flight fares being stable or actually kind of trending a little bit lower because oil prices were actually quite, you know, they were doing fine till the 2008 boom happened and fuel prices shot up. So this was an era where one set of Indians flew for the first time, and that became a fairly large base. This probably you can call it as the phase one of Indian private civil aviation, because coming up next on the other side of this break is phase two, low-cost airlines, and how IndiGo took on Jet and just totally broke open the low-cost carrier space in India. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And welcome back to this episode, Jet Air versus IndiGo, up in the air, in the skies. The first part, we spoke about the journey of Jet and how it completely dominated the private civil aviation space. The market share going as high as 32% by the end of around about 2006. And of course, then came IndiGo. So IndiGo Airline, the InterGlobe Aviation as a corporate name goes, the story of IndiGo is the story of Rahul Bhatia and Rakesh Gangwal, friends who first met in the US as far back as 1985. Okay, now both of them founded InterGlobe Aviation in 2006. And imagine that. Okay, now just look at it from their perspective. They're starting an airline in 2006. The number one private player in airlines is Jet Air, with such a large market share in such a tough industry as aviation. These guys said, okay, you know, let's take them on. And they really took them on well. They introduced a concept of low-cost carrier or LCC in India. Okay, till then, I'm guessing that low-cost carrier was, you know, probably popular in other parts of the world. But as far as India is concerned, IndiGo probably introduced that concept then. They did a lot of things right. And there's, you know, the list is probably longer as to why IndiGo really succeeded. But I'll just put down a few of them. At the center of it is low cost. Absolutely no frills airline. And Ambi will get into that in a little bit more detail. Second, they bought aircraft in bulk from the manufacturers directly. And that managed to help them get good price, because you buy a lot of stuff, typically get a good discount. Then they did sale and lease back transactions, help them control costs. And they also got one type of aircraft. If they would buy, they would buy one type of aircraft in bulk. That helped them standardize everything, reduce costs on training, because obviously if you're training your staff on one type of aircraft, the training might differ on another type of aircraft. So all of this worked. It worked so well that IndiGo hit a lot of milestones. Check this out, okay? 2007, 1 million passengers. 2009, 10 million passengers. By end 2010, they had a 17% market share, replacing Air India as the third airline. So, you know, there was Jet, there was Kingfisher, and then there was IndiGo. They're already number three, right, in 4 years, by end 2010. And in September 2011, just about a year later, they became the largest domestic carrier in India. And in 2017, the first Indian carrier to operate 1,000 flights per day. A huge number. InterGlobe went for an IPO in 2015, and today, it has a market cap of 36,000 crores, revenues of 28,500 crores for the financial year ended 2019. So if you look at it from 2006 to 2015, really rapid rise for IndiGo. Obviously, you're wondering what exactly happened to Jet. You know, it wouldn't take, you know, a number one player getting this kind of competition. Obviously, it would want to hit back. And it did. Things didn't really work for them. So first, for example, they bought Air Sahara to take on the low-cost airlines. They bought a whole lot of different aircraft, weren't really able to make them, these aircraft, earn revenue. And they held on to that full service model, you know, that Ambi spoke about it. I spoke about that. People really loved that luxury concept that Jet was really so well known for, whereas the industry was going towards low-cost airlines. And, you know, IndiGo's and that entire concept of low-cost airlines was hurting the entire full service industry. Kingfisher shut down in 2012. Jet actually tried. And in 2012, the same year, as Kingfisher shut down, Etihad Airlines took a 24% stake in the company. Even then, Jet never really got back to its former glory. In 2019, Jet shut down its operations. I think the creditors are now taking them to court and recover whatever they can. Ambi, over to you. Take us through this phase of the rise of IndiGo and the fall of Jet. Let's walk our listeners through this entire story. Go on.
Okay. So, Anupam, like you said, IndiGo started in 2006. And if you read the book called IndiGo Story, it's amazing that in 2005, IndiGo went and placed an order for 100 Airbus.
Unheard of. Totally unheard of.
Aircraft. I mean, a new airline coming and placing 100 Airbus. And you said very rightly, from day one, I think they studied the Southwest airline system. You know, in America, Southwest Airline is the only airline which has been making money consistently, because they fly the same aircraft. They focus on quick turnaround, no frills, etc. And from Southwest Airline, airlines like Ryanair have copied the same thing in the whole of Europe. Again, go very low in pricing, but cut out every frill. And so they learned that and they said, go big, an order for 100 aircraft. This must have actually sent alarm bells ringing in Jet's mind, because Jet was having ATR, they were having Boeing, they even had some Airbuses. You should have, you know, kind of got them waking up, look, what's happening? I mean, this is not a small competition coming up, right? And mind you, even before they got the delivery of that 100 in 2011, I'm told they placed an order of 180 Airbus aircrafts. And in 2015, they placed an order of 250 Airbus Neo aircraft, the biggest
wow.
order
wow.
in ever, the world. Yeah. Single biggest order ever for Airbus. I mean, so I think these guys were thinking big from day one, even before they started the airline. And they probably knew that because of Jet and Kingfisher and Damania and Modi Luft and SpiceJet, Indians were wanting to fly. More and more Indians were wanting to fly. And Indians are used, and probably there is some logic in their thinking that Indians are used to flying by traveling by train. And they travel by train, they take their khana, they take their, you know, khakra, they do that, they carry their water bottle. And they said, look, we will tap into that. We'll tap into this economy mindset of Indians. And mind you, while they were low frill, very clean airline, they also got a few things right, their branding. You know, they were also appealing in a sense to the millennials. The branding was very clean. Indigo is a fun name. And they had a website called goindigo.com. And they had this light blue, dark blue image, I think done by Wieden Kennedy in Delhi. And imagine they could have gone for some other name, but their flight number is 6E. And they always pronounce it as sexy. So without hurting the sentiment of the so-called middle-class Indian, it is 6E. But for the millennial, it is sexy. So it is, you're flying the sexy airline, right? You're not flying the ordinary airline. What is a sexy airline, right? And then even in small things, and they brought in design into that. You know, their cashew nuts were served in tins. Badam was served in tins. In fact, the first, I don't know how long, but for the first few years, I remember, they refused to serve hot beverages on the aircraft. And I remember asking, you know, I'd started traveling. And I said, look, how come you don't have coffee, tea? He said, no, sir, we don't have a hot kettle on this aircraft because it will take time. It's complicated. So we don't serve any hot beverages. So they were only serving, and later they started doing all that, but the early years, they were serving only Tetra Pak. So the whole idea was serve stuff, serve it quickly. And, you know, in management schools, we talk of what is called design thinking. Design thinking is how you go and apply basic fundamentals on looking at how you can make your whole operation more efficient, and how can you therefore outsource some part of what you do. And an actual demonstration of this was Indigo. Anupam, any idea what I'm going to talk about?
No, I have absolutely no idea. Go for it, Ambi. Waiting to know.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, imagine the first time you flew Indigo and they announced that, you know, our crew will come across the aircraft carrying bags. So please pick all the garbage which you've collected in your seat and hand it over to them. Now, they kind of made the passenger do the job of their housekeeping people. Okay, yeah. The housekeeping people still had to go down and look for something which the passenger may have forgotten. But the passenger was told, we are doing this because we want to fly on time. We are doing this so that, you know, our aircraft arrives clean and the next flight can take off, you know, within, I think their turnaround time was something like 25 minutes or something like that. The other thing, in the first 10 years, they were very good at. The later years, they kind of fell apart. The first 10 years, they're very good at is on time. So, in the corporate circles, it was clear. Jet Airways, very comfortable, very well looked after, full service. But Indigo, slightly more cramped. But boy, they will leave on time and they will land on time. And they also, I think, played a little gimmick in terms of, as other airlines, you fly from Mumbai to Bangalore, the on-air time was probably 70 minutes. And every other airline would say, we take off at 6 o'clock and we land in Bangalore at 7:10. I think Indigo used to say, we take off at 6 o'clock and we land in Bangalore at 7:40 or 7:30. So they kept that little extra 10 minutes. And they always used to announce this, you know, we are landing at this time, the Indigo standard time. So, you know, the crew, the pilots used to announce this, that we are landing ahead of schedule. At some time, they say, we have landed ahead of schedule, but our bay is not free. So it was all to tell the passenger that, you know, you're a business guy, you value your time. We understand that, and we will make sure that we are on time. We are trying to be on time, but you know what to do. The airports are choked, and they can't give the bay. And interestingly, around, I think, 5 years after they launched, they created this premium corporate service. I remember flying. We had a corporate account, so I remember flying that, and next to me was a CEO of one of India's largest companies, and both of us were, you know, kind of sitting in that economy, but the first row of Indigo, right, which is a slightly bigger leg space, and that was given to the corporate customers. You could get out fast, and they did nice thing of slicing the market, right? We call that thin slicing. So they first said, you want food, you have to pay extra. Then they said, you want seats, you have to pay extra. And they were heading towards, you know, you want to carry an extra baggage, you have to pay extra, right? They even had a system whereby you are allowed to carry only, I think, 7 kilos as your hand baggage, right? And I remember once in Calcutta airport, this really happened. So I had gone and I wanted to get myself onto an earlier flight, and I managed to do that. They put me on an earlier flight. They had some seats, and she said, sir, you have to run. And then she looked at the bag and said, sir, let me weigh that bag. So I said, look, it's not very heavy. So she put it and she weighed. So no, sir, this is 8 kilos. You can't carry it. I said, listen, ma'am, I came here. I almost went through security. I came here just to check this. So don't stop me now. Let me go past security. If he stops me saying there is extra weight, I'll come back. Otherwise, let me go. She said, okay, I'll watch you. So I went through, and that guy didn't even bother to look at my weight. He said, yeah, go ahead. And I went through and I waved to her. She said, no. I said, I'm going. And I went. But, you know, they were trained. You know, their crew was maybe not as warm as the Jet Airways crew, but they were trained to say, look, we have to leave on time. We have to get as much load as possible onto the aircraft. And we need to take off on time and land on time. So, no frills. Same business model of probably Southwest Airline in the US, Ryanair in Europe. But they got it right, which is no frills, clean aircraft, take off on time, land on time, want anything extra, pay for it. As you know, there is this famous book on Southwest called Nuts, right? Because it was known that in Southwest Airline, the only thing free you will get are peanuts, right? So in Indigo, you did not even get peanuts. But, you know, to come back to my old Indian Airline story, you got a glass of water free. That's the maximum you can get in an Indigo flight. If you didn't pay for it, you got a little nice white paper cup full of water. But they got it right. They got it right. And if you look at the last, for 10 years, they made profit for 9 years, right? The only year I think they didn't make a profit was the year when oil prices shot up. So that's
and in fact, so let me walk through the financials there, Ambi. March 2008, their revenues were 1,100 crores. They made a loss of 235 crores. From 1,100 crores, they went up 10 times in revenue in 6 years. So March 2014, the year end was 11,000 crores. 11,000 crores, say these guys doubled their revenues by March 2018. Now imagine that. You know, so that 10-year CAGR, the sales compounded annual sales growth rate, is 30%. And as far as profits are concerned, they made profits consistently from 2010 all the way to 2019. And just last year, 2020, they had a loss, I guess, because of the fourth quarter or whatever. So imagine that, you know, an airline that is seriously profitable, growing at the rate that it is growing, it even paid dividends. I mean, my God, ever heard of dividends from airline? And then you have Jet. Okay, same period. Now, Jet 2008 revenues were 8,771 crores. So imagine how small Indigo was as compared to Jet. And Jet went from 8,000 crores. They also doubled their revenues to around about 17,000 crores by March 2013. And the top line went on growing, but they just bled. They did losses of, you know, 3,700 crores, almost 3,668 crores in 2014. And they just couldn't get their game right. So, you know, anything else, Ambi?
You know, Anupam, interestingly, if you compare 10 years, and I did a little analysis from 2008 to 2018, I looked at the numbers of Jet IndiGo and SpiceJet. In the 10 years, I think Jet made a loss in 8 of the 10 years. SpiceJet actually made a loss in something like 7 of those years.
Wow.
And even SpiceJet is also making a loss. But yeah. IndiGo made profit almost every year. So they were doing something so very well, right? And so very right. And admirable success story. Actually take an international example, kind of tweak it towards the Indian thing and try and appeal. And I think they did the nice thing, appealing to the typical Indian customer who will bring his chapati onto the aircraft and eat it. They were called a sexy airline. It is 6E,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
It was a sexy airline.
And passenger traffic just boomed. You know, if Jet got the first slot, IndiGo got the second. You know, this entire boom in aviation that's happened. I remember there was a time not so long ago that people would compare an air flight, Bombay Delhi air flight, to a Rajdhani. For someone, I mean, we've seen how airlines were considered a very expensive, very rich man's thing. But if you're down to that level, it just shows how the industry has benefited so much, first from Jet and from IndiGo. Right? Because the fares, everything is about fares, even today. And that fare has enabled every Indian, you know, or almost every or other, you know, the growth in passenger traffic has been significant to actually fly. I mean, flying in an airline to go from X to Y is now thinkable. So that's a big story. I think the Prime Minister also launched the Udaan facility about, you know, flights from smaller towns. So air connectivity is really important, even from the economy's perspective. So, yeah, I mean, great.
Absolutely. You know, look at it this way. You know, IndiGo was flying to what? 57 destinations across India, 37 destinations in India, 20 abroad. Mm-hmm. And during the height, I think Jet was flying to 63 destinations. Each of these 50, 60 cities get their own boost, right? I mean, airline is only an engine. People fly, transact businesses, they pick a product sample, they take it away, holidayers come, they stay in hotels, they hire taxis. Such a great, you know, it's like something which kind of has a lot of trickle-down effect into many, many sectors.
Yeah, yeah.
It's unfortunate that, you know, one of those key players have had to shut down. Yeah, sad.
And on that note, folks, taking a break on the second part of the episode, when you come back on the third part, we are going to talk about lessons. What can all of us learn from this epic battle between Jet and IndiGo? Unfortunately, one player has gone down. Let's see, you know, maybe they come back. And one player is standing tall. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on this episode. And welcome back to this episode of Jet Airways versus IndiGo, up in the air, fight in the skies, or whatever you want to call it. We've covered the battle between both the players. Now, in the last and final part of this episode, what are the lessons? See, now Jet managed to ramp up rapidly in the face of, you know, you could call it a dormant competition, because at that point of time, we only had Air India and Indian Airlines, and Jet managed to give a service that was really unforgettable, and they got a lot of market share by then. Then they did all the right things, like just what Ambi had pointed out, frequent flyer program, great service. But when they were faced with an agile, independent carrier that went after the price-conscious Indian air traveler. Remember, folks, price-conscious. Jet just couldn't fight back. They were caught flat-footed. Ambi, all yours. Tell our listeners, what went wrong and what can we learn?
Yeah, okay. Ambi, you know, this is something which probably will be people will be discussing in business schools, and cases should be written about it. That, you know, what happened? You know, how come Jet went from 30% or 22% market share to zero in just, what, 7, 8, 9 years. So my feeling is that when facing Indian Airlines and Air India, Jet came through as a great success, right? Because Indian Airlines and Air India were so slow to adapt. And I'm told a lot of the reasons why they were slow to adapt, not because they are bad people. They are very, very highly trained, very highly qualified, excellent professionals. But due to various interventions from the powers that be, Jitendra Bhargava has written a book on what kind of interference they used to have, and they actually gave away. In Air India and Indian Airlines gave away a lot of slots, and Jet grabbed it. But, you know, Jet actually did a lot of things right. I mean, they had a very good airline, they had very good training systems, they had very good people working for them. But they did a lot of things wrong. I think somewhere the owners, megalomania, if you call it, got into the act. They wanted to be everything to every people. And so when they got attacked by IndiGo, they went and acquired, what was it? They acquired one of the airlines and they rebranded it as Jetlite. And they tried fighting both the full service and the discount airline. And they failed miserably.
That whole thing right between, because I think they acquired SRR, tried to make it a low cost, and there was Jet Connect, Jet Light, Jet Airway. So that entire branding confusion, I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. There was complete mess. You go into an aircraft, it feels like a different aircraft. Then you realize it's actually a Jet Air, Air Sahara aircraft, which has been repurposed. You know, suddenly we frequent flyers started feeling a little uncomfortable about Jet and the kind of things they were doing was wrong. I think the point was, do you understand your customer, what he or she is looking for, and how sticky are you with your brand, right? Now, I think they took too long to understand the impact of a no-frills economy airline and how it is going to affect your business. So they were trying to do full service and they were also trying to play the discount game. Now, you can't play both those games. And there are enough examples in America which says that, look, either you play one game or you play the other. The other thing is, how agile are you? So, should they have abandoned the entire full service game and gone after a no-frills positioning? Or should they have tested something saying, look, we'll stick to only full service, but we'll try and test out, should we take a higher price? Because we're going to offer food, we're going to offer all this. So, should we actually go for a, maybe not a full price, but a higher price game, you know? And they had actually built a very good international operation. They're flying to a lot of destinations and they had a lot of good passengers, good word of mouth, and they had a great lead. Could they have, leveraged that? Could they have taken that? And I think finally it comes to leadership. Finally, when the rubber meets the road, I think Rahul Bhatia scored over Naresh Goyal. Okay. I think Rahul Bhatia also had very trustworthy CEOs who, I think Aditya Ghosh were there for a long period. Whereas you look at the top level CEO churn, which has happened in Jet. I think Naresh Goyal did a smart thing. He got an international, he's always had, I think, an international CEO, but they kept changing. My feeling is the CEOs kept changing. And I remember once we were invited to pitch for that business and we went and pitched and we got a very funny feeling. And in the airline, in the advertising circles, the joke was the Jet Airways pitch will go on for a year. Now, if you call for an agency pitch and the agency pitch goes on for a year, this company doesn't understand the importance of marketing communication. And unfortunately, finally when the agency which got selected because of someone mentioned the name in the board or whatever, and completely someone randomly got selected. So I think all these combined to bring about, I'm not taking away from what IndiGo did. They had their vision. They knew what to do. They thought big and they played a game and they played the same game again and again and again and again and kept perfecting the game. Jet started playing football and they suddenly realized the ball is different and they started playing basketball. And then they said, no, we should play golf. And they got confused. It's unfortunate. Like I said, even Spice was not such a profitable airline, right? Jet was probably worse than Spice, but unfortunate that they couldn't find the buyer. I wish they had found a buyer early enough when they came. Maybe 2 years ago, they could have found a buyer. I think somewhere, someone's ego came in the way because of which the deal could not happen. And imagine, so many thousand people were rendered without jobs. And these are world-class professionals. So my heart goes out to them. So many people were rendered jobless. So many, right down the line from pilots to crew to ground staff, they were all rendered jobless. And we as customers, Anupam, we had a choice earlier, a very good choice between Jet and IndiGo. And now we have SpiceJet, we have GoAir, and we have IndiGo, but we're moving towards a monopolistic situation of IndiGo versus everyone else. which is not a good, it's not a good thing to be.
And it's not like Jet didn't, you know, Jet was on to something. Come on, you know, Vistara's trying the same thing. They're trying to say, okay, we are going to give you your customer experience that you're actually going to enjoy. And the few times that I've flown Vistara, I've always remembered it. They've created this premium economy thing. They offer Starbucks coffee and the crew, the hostesses, they're all pretty good. It's kind of refreshing, you know, whereas Indigo does one thing and does it really well, which is get you from point A to point B. That's it. That's just about it.
Absolutely. I hope, you know, Vistara actually becomes what Jet was, which is a very good service, full service airline. And I'm sure business travelers are willing to pay 500 rupees more for that experience. And there will be a market. A market will emerge. Everyone doesn't want to drive an Alto. You know, even Maruti has realized that, you know, you have a customer who wants a Desire. You want to have a customer who wants a CS. The market will be different. It may not be as big, but it will definitely be very profitable. And if you can get your economies right, you can actually, you know, segment the market. And, you know, there is a space for a 5-star hotel. There's a space for a 3-star and there's space Absolutely. For Airbnb. Absolutely. In a big country like India, which is growing at 7-8%, there is a market for different types of offering for different types of customers. And it's hats off to Indigo for doing something brilliantly well. But my heart goes out to Jet. And like you said, Anupam, I do hope Vistara emerges as a credible, full-service, great-service airline in India. I'm looking forward. Yeah. I'm betting on them for doing that.
Absolutely. And on that positive note of hope and optimism for probably the return of full-service carriers, and of course, Indigo will continue because we know that that is a hugely, it's a huge space to be in, you know, low-cost airlines, but, you know, it's also good for competition to have another choice.
Well, that's all from us on The Last Brand Standing, presented by Bank of Baroda. On the next episode, we are going shopping. Join us as we talk Indian clothing brands, Manyavar and Raymond. And if you like this podcast, you can check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. Also, you can follow me, Anupam Gupta, B50 on Twitter.
And me, Ambi Parmeshwaran on Twitter @AbhiMGP.
That's a goodbye, folks. See you guys next time.